This program is proudly sponsored by Holistic Therapies by Camille. Fancying a full body massage with cup-in therapy to help you relax and release tension? Go to holistictherapiesbycamille.com to book yourself in.
Hello and welcome to Joining the Dots with me, Julie Kissick, here on Hospital Radio Glamorgan. That was S Club 7 and Reach, a fitting tribute to the story that we'll be hearing during the show, which is your weekly mix of informative, uplifting and interesting conversation designed to help us all to join the dots in our lives. We're on to programme 13, so we're still a relatively new show. 13 might be unlucky for some, but it's definitely not for us. I hope you've enjoyed this gorgeous bank holiday Monday. I'm going to be keeping you company for the next hour with lots more great music and an interview with athlete Rosie Eccles. Rosie is a Welsh light middleweight boxer who's the epitome of strength, decency and determination. Sadly, she's had to give up on her Olympic dream, but as we'll hear, she isn't going to let that define her.
It was very emotional when I was GB. It was 3-4 weeks ago and I spoke with Rob and my head coach Graham and went individually and spoke to people, and I'm not an emotional, like a crier. I think I cried like everyone I spoke to. It was so embarrassing, honestly.
Just rinse and repeat.
Oh, it was awful because it was the end of something.
Yeah.
And it was walking away from that dream. I've never, ever given up on anything. And it's also people you've been connected to over years. But now I've come back and I've settled. I did hit the physical wall when I came back. But now I'm here. I feel so content with my decision. I love my team here too.
We'll hear more of Rosie's story between now and 6 o'clock when Simon Field brings us 2 hours of great songs to ease us out of this long, hot bank holiday weekend. If only every weekend lasted 3 days, eh? I hope if you've been with us live that you've enjoyed the shows, which started with a 4-hour marathon from Sam Rees this morning at 6 o'clock. And at 10 o'clock this evening, Andrew Wolfe is back with Music Was My First Love, where you can hear John Webber, Hospital Radio Glamorgan's oldest volunteer. And if you miss it live, you can listen again via the Hospital Radio Glamorgan app and also on our website. John was recently awarded honorary life membership of Hospital Radio Glamorgan, and you can hear his pick of 10 songs and his 10 reasons at 10 o'clock. That was McFly and All About You here on Hospital Radio Glamorgan. You're listening to Joining the Dots with me, Julie Kissick. But it's all about Rosie Eccles today, the Welsh light middleweight boxer who's had to make the painful decision to withdraw from the Olympic 2028 squad and concentrate her attentions on this summer's Commonwealth Games. Rosie spoke to the University of South Wales's third-year sports journalism student Sam Hill about her decision.
Representing Wales!
Now, the reason we wanted to talk is we met and you were telling me about your reason to step away from Team GB. And I just thought it'd be interesting for people to hear why you've done that and maybe have a little bit of look back at your time there. So for those people who don't know, what have you been at Team GB? How long have you been there with GB Boxing? And then why have you decided to step away?
Yeah, so I started boxing at 16, got onto the Welsh setup at 18 and spent like sort of 4 years there until I medalled in my first games and I got onto GB Boxing at the age of 21, 22. And yeah, the goal then is what my dream was since the age of 8, the Olympics. And obviously we're probably going to talk about everything that happened since, but I've spent, yeah, the last 8 years of my career commuting to Sheffield and back every week, living up there. Always kept my hand in with the Welsh team because that's always done me really well. Always come back from the games. But yeah, it came to a point a month ago nearly now where I decided, after 8 long years, to step away from the programme, and meaning stepping away from the Olympics.
How difficult a decision has it been to step away from that, and how much of the decision maybe was made a little bit for you, kind of you've alluded to with your body?
Yeah, it's hard to just answer that question without context. You know, from the age of eight, I have been obsessed by the Olympics, you know, and, you know, for what I loved multiple sport, you know, growing up, I used to run, swim, whatever, and never really found my way until I walked into a box size class at 15. And, you know, that was kind of where I turned my life around, and it became, went from a dream into a real ambition. And I, you know, it was a promise. I'm going to get to Olympics. This is my route to the Olympics. I'm going to change my life. I'm going to win Olympic gold. And that sounds so far-fetched, doesn't it? You know, a 16-year-old kid really saying that, but I believed it. And it's something I've hung on to, you know, all my adult life and my upper teens. And, you know, when I had my first fight, when I got my first trial for Wales and I got on Wales, you know, each bit, each step, I probably didn't appreciate enough I'd got the next stage, because I was, it was about the Olympics, about the Olympics. And I was so far away, but I always felt like I was on that path. And unfortunately for me, COVID massively got in the way. Through injury, I competed in the Olympic qualifier, lost on a split to the Russian seed. But what a lot of people didn't know is we now know it was COVID. I'd contracted about 6-8 weeks earlier. And every time since I've had COVID, it's attacked the nerves in my body. And I lost up to 90% function of my right arm by 3 months after the qualifier. I knew going into the qualifier, I was in a lot of pain, taking a lot of medication. I told them initially there was something with my neck. They said, oh, we'll get you qualified, it'll be fine. We'll sort it afterwards. And then I started to realise that actually I was losing function of my arm. Didn't tell anyone, because I thought, I can't let anyone have that spot. I've just worked so hard for 2 years.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't win. And then, yeah, Tokyo didn't happen. So then it all became about Paris. Whereas we could go on and say what happened in Paris. And then it became about LA. And we're currently in that position. I suppose you asked me what, I don't know if you asked me what led to that situation and why that was such a difficult decision. I think I've gone through my career, I've always pushed through injuries, pushed through illness, given my all, and I have no regrets. But when I started this Olympic cycle, Rob McCracken gave me a, you know, really good offer. Because I was potentially going to, could I go pro? Would I do this? Would I do that? And he said I could split train, I've, you know, get a bit more out of my body, training with Wales, and have that shot at LA. And like, wow, I was like, I've got one more chance at my Olympic medal. And yeah, but the hard pill to swallow is maybe all those years of pushing so hard, all the things that were happening, I'd had to make a decision that the one thing I wouldn't now compromise was health. There was a few clear health markers I'd be able to fight to get back. And I said, if they go, I walk away from the sport. And unfortunately, within no time of me back on full time, they disappeared. And we all had massive knee surgery as well. And kind of the decision was made for me by myself one year earlier.
I suppose the question is, it feels like you have done everything right, essentially. And, you know, the hand that has been dealt to you thus has not come through in the way that maybe you'd hope. But I guess you can take a lot of kind of pride in that you did everything you can and the universe did what it wanted.
Do you know what, how you've worded that, I couldn't probably word any better. I've always said I'm very fortunate, but I've never had the luck.
Yeah.
You know, and there's a few things I've always, like, I think everyone has their, I don't know if I'd say their way of being or their morals. I've always been about, I really believe you only get out what you put in. And I've given everything and more than I probably had throughout my career. And when I say I gave everything, that's with, I also really was strict about living by certain morals, like integrity really matters to me, loyalty, honesty. And I've kept those throughout my career. I've never stepped on heads to get that, but I've given everything while doing it, you know. And it's something I speak about when I speak with schools and I do it with young people. It's like, when I go to bed at night, I am gutted. I'm gutted I never got to reach my dream because I believed I was good enough to do it. But I sleep because I know I couldn't have given any more. And that's also in the decision to walk away now. You know, if you'd asked me if we'd be sat here having this conversation at Christmas time, I would have been so far in denial. I was in the bin going to Christmas. I was like, I'll recover over Christmas. I'll be fine. It's just because I've just come back and pushed. And I came back on day one of Christmas and I almost had a breakdown because I realised I hadn't even recovered over 3 weeks where I'd actually toned it down. And then what I started to realise was, if I carry on like this, I'm not even going to make the games. Yeah. Like, and I pushed up to one tournament just to test the theory. Let's just see. Maybe I have this miraculous thing when I deload for a tournament, which I had 3 weeks to get ready for. Like, it's mental now. I boxed in, was it February after Christmas? That showed me everything I needed to know. I got the flu while out there. I was so run down and I was like, wow. Like, and now it was very emotional when I went up to GB. It was 3-4 weeks ago and I spoke with Rob and my head coach Graham and went individually and spoke to people. And I'm not an emotional, like a crier. I think I cried like everyone I spoke to. It was so embarrassing, honestly.
Just rinse and repeat.
Oh, it was awful because it was the end of something.
Yeah.
And it was walking away from that dream. I've never, ever given up on anything. And it's also people you've been connected to over years. But now I've come back and I've settled. I did hit the physical wall when I came back. But now I'm here. I feel so content with my decision. I love my team here too. And it feels so right.
I suppose the benefit of it all is it's going to end quite nicely with that Commonwealth Games. Yeah. Being in Glasgow, you know, obviously similar to Birmingham, where it's on these Isles, and
yeah,
it's your third, and there's a chance to kind of go all three. Yeah. There is, amongst all of the sort of, I imagine, disappointment, there's quite a nice little tale at the end of it.
100%. Is my body perfect? God no, but can we manage it? Yeah. And do I think I can squeeze a gold out? Yeah, in form, I think I can, and I feel a great sense of pride in representing those people that support me and my country. I think, what a way to finish. Okay, it wasn't Olympic gold. And yeah, that's always going to be a little bit hard, but I know I've made the right decision. And what a way to finish, you know. It is about winning, because I'm a winner, but it's also not. It's about, regardless, about coming home, being with your team. It's kind of my thank you to... from me to everyone as well, of like, let's just have one more quest together. Where no matter what happens, so many people have given their all for me and vice versa. And I think it'd be special regardless, but I kind of, the game's always had that little bit of magic for me and just want that little bit more now.
Pink and Please Don't Leave Me here on Joining the Dots on Hospital Radio Glamorgan. I'm Julie Kissick. Definitely no need to leave us at all today. We've had a packed schedule so far and we're keeping you company right up to the end of the day with plenty of your favourite presenters and lots of great music, including Rob Jones with Oasis versus the Stone Roses at 8 o'clock and Ian Webber with The Best of the Blues at 9, before we hear from his dad John with Andrew Wolf at 10. And Jay brings the bank holiday to a close at 11 with an hour of chill out tunes. And talking of chilling out, do you meditate? Is it something you've thought about but concluded that it's not for you? Well, it was World Meditation Day on May the 21st, and I'll be honest, I knew very little about meditation before doing some research for the show. I'll share what I found out after Lady Gaga and Paparazzi. So, meditation. Now, it was referenced in ancient texts as far back as 3000 BC, and it seems to be an increasingly accepted practice in mainstream Western culture. Meditation is a practice or a technique that's used to get to a heightened state of awareness on being calm and stable, both mentally and emotionally. And many well-being groups and organisations and individual practitioners have free meditations that can be used. Many of them are guided meditations. That's where the practitioner or the teacher leads you through a meditation session by literally talking you through. So instead of meditating in silence, you listen to a voice that guides you in terms of your breathing, positioning, etc. And I was surprised to see that on the NHS website, there is a simple guide on how to meditate for beginners. And if you visit nhs.uk and search for meditation, you'll find plenty of information, along with a video to help you. The important thing to remember, apparently, is that meditation is not mystical. It's simply a way for us to stop for a moment and to be calm. And in a busy world, it gives us permission to pause, breathe, and reset. That was Westlife and You Raise Me Up here on Hospital Radio Glamorgan. You're listening to Join in the Dots. Time now for the second part of the interview that the University of South Wales third year sports journalism student Sam Hill did with Rosie Eccles, as the boxer revealed that she'd had to make the very difficult decision to leave the Olympic 2028 training camp and focus all her attention on the Commonwealth Games, which is happening this summer.
As you were talking about, I was trying to think, is there any other sports you can pivot to? You know, is the Winter Olympics, get a curling or something, you know?
I don't think my knee. I've always wanted to just go skiing.
What about darts? Maybe a bit of darts? That's not too much on the body.
If you see me throw
a little jab,
dart.
You know?
Yeah,
there
maybe,
might be some transferable
maybe.
Skills.
I love all sport. You know, and I've always wanted to play rugby. Always. When this is what things have moved on so fast. I've got a really talented nephews and nieces, all little athletes. Got a niece who plays rugby. She's just turned 17. Always wanted to play for Wales. And it's brilliant. Look at the opportunities they've all got now. Like young girls. I mean, girls and boys, but young girls. There was never even... I would love to have played rugby growing up. But it just wasn't there. It's like when I turned to my gym, they didn't train girls. I got turned away 3 times. You know, but that's things move on. And yeah, I would have loved to have played rugby. But I always said, I'll join a club when I finish boxing. There's no chance my body would get through one rugby game anymore, which is a bit sad. But hey, I've had a great run.
Yeah, I think so. And then you've actually segued me nicely there. I wanted to talk a little bit about that. And I suppose off the back of, you know, the career's not over yet and the Commonwealth Games and stuff. But if you're thinking about your sort of, you know, what you've left behind, your legacy, how things have changed since you came into, what was it, Chepstow ABC,
yeah.
And they said, no, we're not training you, you're a woman.
Just sneak
and,
up my moped, yeah.
Yeah, all of that sort days. Of stuff, you know, it's a crazy journey. But you now look at it and you've got boxers like yourself, Lauren, you had the first ever female Welsh title fight in this country,
yeah,
in the pro ranks, you know, things have come a long way. And talk to us about that, how you got into the sport and how you, you know, fought before you even got in the ring to kind of be able to.
Funny story, really. Like, I think I've said it a lot of times now, but people always ask me. But I just walked past a boxer's class at 15 and I was actually looking through the door and this man looked back at me and opened the door and I was like, oh, I'm sorry. And he goes, well, do you want to come in and join? I said, oh, I'm 15. So you weren't allowed to do a class until you were 16. He goes, no, it's fine, come in. And it's so cheesy. But I put the gloves on and I hit a pad and I was like, this is like my thing. At this point, the boxing wasn't in the Olympics. It was 2012, but this was, or was it maybe 2011 probably at this point. And I never watched boxing properly other than I used to like Amir Khan back then and watching things, but I didn't really get it. Like, and didn't even know it was in the Olympics, but it happened to be the following year, the first year that it was going to be, it was in the Olympics. And I remember him saying to me, the man who ran the class, he had an ex-mixed martial arts background. He said, you've got something. And he said, look, I used to beg him to take me on the pads after the class and stuff, like beg him, like poor man. And he said to me, look, he said, I train people before work really early in Newport, which is normally a 30-minute drive for me. And he said, you can come and join, but you've got to be 16. I knew I'd have no support. So I saved up, I bought a moped. I used to sell stuff at school as well, which kind of helped that long. That's another tangent, my little side hustle. But basically, yeah, I bought a moped and I did my, like, you had to do like, I can't remember what it's called, this little mini test thing. And I asked to do it in Newport because I needed to know the roads. I have a terrible sense of direction, like, and I mean like the worst. So I needed to go the back roads to Newport. So what I started to do is when I turned 16, I had my moped. I used to go to bed in my clothes, pack my bag night before, wake up at 3 a.m, go out through the back door with my moped down the road because it's too loud, start it, ride to Newport, which took me like 45, 50 minutes. I used to pull in at this little McDonald's on the Calder roundabout to like have a wee.
Yeah, I know the one, yeah.
I had no money, so I didn't buy anything. And then I'd go on to Newport, I'd knock on the door, let me in, train for an hour and a quarter. And it's my first actual boxing gym. And the smell, that, if you ever go in that gym, it's the smell of the boxing gym. I'd train, then I'd ride back, push up the road, go in my room for 15 minutes, get up for school. Just to hide my sweaty kit under my bed until I got home later and I'd done some exercise and put it in the wash.
Yeah.
And it carried on for a couple of months until I got caught, got in loads of trouble, did it again because I'd tried ringing up the club, didn't train girls, and eventually I got onto Chepstow ABC where I pestered this other man enough and he was great. You know, he said no. And then, you know, and I have a massive respect for people of that generation. He's long gone now, bless him, but he changed his mind. And you don't know what you've never known. And people like try to bash down like men of that generation. He just never knew any different. And I actually have so much respect for him because he didn't change his mind. I'd have had no club to go to. And he was a massive advocate for me then. And yeah, the rest was sort of history, really.
Yeah. So just to kind of wrap it up, I suppose the important thing for many people will be thinking is, what's next? You know, what is your feeling? If you have one, you don't have to, but have you got any thoughts of kind of how you want to keep yourself in boxing, or maybe, you know, leave it in the past?
Yeah, no, definitely. Boxing has given me everything in my life and more, and I want to give back to that, whether that is, you know, through coaching. I have, you know, ambitions initially. Like, I think it's really hard because I'm still in boxing and I'm very much what's in front of you. It's like, don't look at the next opponent where you've got that one in front of you. And I'm going to give everything I can to these games, but you've got to be aware, you know. And I would love to find a route through coaching. My long-term ambition has always been to be a performance director of an Olympic sport. I'd love to give back to boxing. I think I could, but that's a lot of years down the line. I'd love to give back to athletes that are driven and be able to. I love performance, and I know that you can have great people in a position, but if the system around doesn't work, they can't shine. And I love all those intermoving parts, and my brain works that way. I enjoy that, and I'd love to be able to give more people the opportunities that I've had. And I think I'd get a lot from that selfishly as well. I think I would really enjoy that. And I've always worried about the end of my career. It's something I've feared my whole career. But I've got very good people around me, and I think it's going to be hard, a hard adjustment. It's very different, but I think a little bit also, there's a part of me that also looks forward to that next stage too.
I suppose if nothing else, you've got experience. You know, there's not much the sport of boxing could throw at someone that you're perhaps tutoring that you wouldn't go, I remember when this happened to me.
Yeah, it might have given me everything, but it's thrown a lot of rocks as well. Yeah. That's what, but you know what, it makes you. And okay, I would change some of the decisions, but would I change my route anywhere? No, I think it makes you who you are. Yeah, as I said, you've had the fortune but not the luck. But that's life as well. And I think that's a really important thing I was trying to communicate. Like, sometimes you can give, you only get out what you put in, but some people don't take, you don't always get out what you put in, but it's still worth it. Because then at least I know, you know, that's, I mean, I know that I've done everything possible. And I've got learnt, you know, in myself and my character, I've got a lot from that, even if it wasn't Olympic gold.
Well, Rosie, thank you for your time today. Unfortunately, that is all we've got time for. But for anyone that's watching or listening, obviously, Commonwealth Games come this summer. Keep your eyes open. Hopefully it's the fairy tale ending that we're hoping for. But otherwise, you know, thank you for your time.
Great interview there from Sam Hill, and I'm sure we'll all be watching out for Rosie when the games begin. And if sport's your thing, do tune in on a Friday at 6 o'clock, because you can join me for All About Sport. Jerry and the Pacemakers and You'll Never Walk Alone is next, and Kim Sims and Too Blind to See plays us out. Do stay with us here on Hospital Radio Glamorgan though. We are your healthy choice.